This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Football Friday.
Nicks a deep drop, looks left, throws a ball. He's got Pat Bryant in the corner of the end zone. Bryant makes the catch. Touchdown, Denver.
Eric Gibson Jr., the quarterback. Snap, hand it off. Nope. And that's an easy touchdown.
Anderson returning. It's there by himself. Trying to stay in bounds. He does. Touchdown, Wyoming. Michael Fitzgerald the second.
Colorado State highlight not found.
There is no question what play is coming next.
Stop. Across the goal line and into the end zone. And Colorado finally on the scoring board.
Colorado State highlight still not found.
Fourth and one. Little motion and a pitch. And Frewley's in. Touchdown.
Did the Rams play this last week?
Third down and goal. Shotgun snap to R.J. Harvey. Harvey in the Wildcat takes it off right guard, and he's got his second touchdown of the game. Touchdown, R.J. Harvey and Denver.
That was close. Welcome in to Football Friday, presented by Big City Roadhouse. This is the whole show powered by Chevron. We still got the Rocky Mountain College kickoff coming up at 2 o'clock today, and Michael, please help with Michael. Michael, help Michael. Thank you. Is that better, Michael?
Yes.
Thank you.
Michael?
Michael,
can you help me?
We got Tanner Schwint in studio, the dude down the hall, Derbs,
hello.
And dancing with himself for the weekly checkup on the quarterback toilet bowl. And I took my lead again.
You took your lead again. It was a tough week for the guys
really
picking quarterbacks. Brady, had Marcus Mariota, who performed the worst of the guys we picked at a 61.4. Tanner had had Tua, who had his best game of the year.
Yeah,
it seemed like 65.6. Derbs went with Mac Jones at a 74, and CJ Stroud had an 88.3 for me.
Pretty good.
But luckily, my 3 weeks previous had kind of built me into a little bit of a lead ahead of these other two guys. So
what do the standings look like?
The standings are you have moved back into first place by 1 point, 42.39.
Ooh.
I'm at 43.39. Derbs is at 46.32. And Tanner, bringing up the rear, 54.62.
Besides this game,
besides Tanner's first pick of the year, where he had Cam Ward at a 7.4, he has nothing below a 41.
Yeah, so. I've been real bad at this. This is a dumb game. I strive for excellence, and then you guys are like, "Oh, this is why I suck at golf too." High score normally wins, and then you guys are like, "Oh, low score wins," and I suck at it. So that's the reasoning I think I'm going with right now. But well, no doubt we'll get on the.
Don't
right
you want
track
a low score in golf?
Yeah, that's why I said.
Oh,
suck
I thought
at
you
it.
Said high score.
He does high scores.
Yeah,
yeah, because normally in every other sport, high score wins.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I struggle with the ones where low score wins.
Well, this is where you have to focus on the low score, Tanner.
Mm.
You got to think about that.
You have to try harder.
It's a prediction game.
This changes everything. I thought we were going who could string together the highest scores, which
no.
I would have won that game.
No.
That would be so much easier.
If all the quarterbacks did the exact opposite of what they have done, I would be in the lead right now.
Yes.
That's one way of thinking of it. All right, so where do we go from here? We got Tanner picking first?
No, I will pick first.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. You had...
I had CJ Stroud. So with the first pick in the Week 9 Toilet Bowl...
Ooh.
I'm going to go with Tyler Shook, who is taking over the reins in New Orleans, playing against the Rams this week.
That's
a good pick.
That would have been my first off
that's
the board.
Pick,
yeah, that's real solid, Mike. Well done.
It's just about not getting last.
And you haven't used Spencer Rattler, right? Because that
correct
that has come up. Like if like for me and you, Brady, we've used Spencer Rattler. If he for some reason plays, then we've already used him, we get a 75 on it. So
oh wow,
that's something to keep in mind with these injuries as they continue to pile up.
If he plays at all.
Well, if he were to start, like, yeah, if you pick Tyler Shook and he doesn't qualify for a QBR, then you would get Spencer Rattler. And if you've already used him, then you would get 75.
The plot thickens, Derbs, yeah. As they say.
I'm not ready for those curveballs.
I feel like we've added a new rule every week that we've been in here on this.
The rules have been the same the whole time.
They've been incredibly complicated.
I feel like he laid it out pretty good.
None of us read the text.
None of us understood.
Or read the text that he sent.
Very cloudy, but clear.
Clear, yeah. Somewhat.
It was all right there in front of you guys to read, and you didn't choose to read it.
Derbs, up on the clock.
Here
for
we
the
go, Derbs.
Toilet bowl.
This is going to be it, man.
Draft?
I'm ready. this pains me a little bit because I think he's better than what he's shown so far. And one of these weeks, he's going to throw for a zillion yards and a bunch of touchdowns. But let's hope it's not this week. But give me Cam Ward this week going up against the Chargers.
That's pretty good.
Cam Ward. Derbs is going with Cam Ward.
That's pretty good. I wasn't expecting that, but I am, as Derbs just was, I am ready. Give me J.J. McCarthy as he makes his return for the Minnesota Vikings, taking on that Detroit Lions defense. I don't think that rookie quarterback stands well. Second-year quarterback stands a chance.
If he was on my list to pick first, which pains me being a Vikings fan, until I found out that Tyler Shook was going to start, and I can push off the J.J. McCarthy pick for a few more weeks.
All right. I'm getting to the point now where I've got to start picking good quarterbacks, I think. I didn't build a big enough lead over you guys. So I'm looking at good quarterbacks going up against great defenses. So I'm going to go where Mike went last week. I'm going to go with C.J. Stroud. That might give away my Broncos pick. Maybe not, though.
You picked early. You have to forfeit your draft pick.
That's for a future sixth rounder.
I honestly quit counting on Michael to actually produce it right, so I just kind of went with it and threw my pick in. I'm not waiting for Roger Goodell to go up there and do his little walk and announce. I'm going to just say
my pick. We don't have anyone to boo.
Be like me last week where I got the double flush when Brian was back there. So.
Yeah, Brian got a little carried away with the flusher. Back there. I'm going to go C.J. Stroud. Doesn't necessarily mean I think the Broncos are winning.
Yeah.
It just could be a slugfest. It could be one of those games where both quarterbacks are struggling.
No concern with Pat Sertan being out?
I have some concern.
But not enough to...
Their offensive line is... Flush the toilet again, Mike? Flush the toilet? That's what their offensive line is this. Well, not that.
That's cheery.
Not that, but that part.
Right? Oh!
So I think this defensive line will get back there and mess with
CJ. No, I don't. I don't hate it. I actually thought about taking Bo Nix here to get him out of the way as well. Because if he is figuring it out, you know, this Texans defense, Brady obviously do better. Number one defense in the NFL.
There's no way. Like you can tell me statistically, the Houstons are the best defense in the league. That's just if you just look, they had a shutout against Tennessee, who Derbs is just picking their quarterback. So it shows you how much you kind of think of. That quarterback.
That's the first quarterback that's off the board for all of us now, too, right?
I have not.
You have not picked
Cam Ward yet. So
okay, all right.
I don't think I have either. I think I did the same thing. I think the guy's good. I'm rooting for the guy, so it's hard for me to just pick that he's going to have a bad game. But the whole statistical thing is like I'm looking at some key stats. Obviously, if you're number one in every single category, there you go. But Denver's defense is number one. In third down, in stopping teams on third down. They are number one in the red zone and holding teams to field goals. And again, one or two games, you post one shutout, that changes your average big time. And if you get, they caught the Ravens when they had no Lamar Jackson, and we watched the game last night,
Ravens with Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Completely. You know that drawing of the horse where half of it's great and half of it's bad?
Yeah.
That's Baltimore with or without Lamar Jackson. So you can throw stats at me all you want, but sometimes you got to go with the eye test. Seattle's defense is very good, but I think the Broncos, if I had to pick, then I would say it's the Broncos have the best defense.
Yeah.
They're major in some of the big categories.
10 more sacks than the next closest team as well. I mean, they're leading the league in sacks this year. So I need a good bad week, right? Are we cheering for bad weeks?
High scores.
Low scores. Big Hub texting, Mike, can you explain the toilet bowl again? We got this text last week. I think this is going to be a common theme. Basically, we pick.
Okay.
Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, so our goal is to celebrate bad quarterback play in the NFL. So we are trying to pick the worst quarterback based on ESPN's QBR from week to week. We can only use every quarterback one time, and we cannot pick the same quarterback during that week. There are little rules that come into play, like the 75 QBR rule. If you, for some reason, pick somebody and they don't play and you already have used the other quarterback. But other than that, it seems pretty simple. I sit over here and I go, I don't understand why there's so many questions about it. But
that was partially on us because we made it a little more convoluted than it actually was in the first couple weeks.
You guys start talking about stuff and confuse everybody else. It's very simple. You can't use a quarterback twice. You can't pick the same quarterback as somebody else. And we want to pick the worst quarterbacks for the week.
The QBR. We're just looking at that. Whoever has the worst number next to that QBR wins.
Quarterback rating.
Yeah, quarterback rating.
Yes, not passer rating.
Don't get confused on that either.
No.
Yes.
Or completion percentage or anything like that.
Correct.
Because there's so many things that go into it.
Mm-hmm. I have nothing more to add.
The reason the ESPN QBR works better than, say, passer rating is because they take into play the... what's happening in the game. Like the interception that CJ Stroud threw like right before halftime last week did not really affect his score because it didn't really come into play for the game. So
this is my question on that too, because
here we go.
No, shut up, Mike. Tua was 20 of 26 last week, 205 yards and 4 touchdowns.
That's pretty good.
And only had a QBR of 65.6. Mm-hmm. Does that mean that there's a lot of like yards after catch? Like I'm asking about the actual QBR rating.
I would guess it's a lot of like short passes that they're not going down the field, they're not hunting down the field. Those kind of things.
A lot of the yak stuff.
Yes.
Okay, very good.
We need short passers. Now I know.
Yeah, why didn't you say that early?
Come on, Mike.
God.
I honestly have no idea.
I'm trying not to help you guys.
I have no idea how they calculate it.
No.
So I just look next to the QBR.
Nobody does, even the people who do it.
No, because is it kind of subjective sometimes? Because like you said, the interception, they're not really holding that against him because it's late.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure they have some magical formula. They put in all the stuff and... some AI thing spits out a number and
the BCS computer.
We have fun with it trying to pick who's the worst.
And I'm leading right now.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what we need.
It's early.
And I'm also leading because somebody is below me.
That's
That's how bad things are for us. We're just rooting to not get last.
Yeah, that's where
the whole key. That's the only punishment.
The punishment is that whoever's last, which would be me right now, these three idiots would be to go to the Ark, the thrift store, and buy some sort of an outfit for me to wear to Big City Roadhouse, and then I would have to buy beers on that, beers and food.
Yeah. Sounds good.
That was your idea.
It was my idea. I maybe jumped the gun a little bit on that, but that doesn't sound like me.
I don't know. I was killing everybody for the first like 5-6 weeks, and now it's tight.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, it's a 14-point spread from first to last right now.
Yeah, and legitimately, there was like 4 weeks ago, I was in last place, and then I jumped all the way into first until CJ Stroud.
Yeah, hopefully, we don't have a repeat performance from CJ
Stroud. I hope
it's
a 50-48 game. Broncos win.
I have already wagered on the over.
I hope C.J. Stroud goes for 900
40.5 is the over. Is that right, Derms?
Mm-hmm. It was 39.5 when we spoke the other day.
Interesting.
Why? Why?
Because the NFL doesn't do what the NFL is supposed to do. Everybody thinks it's a slugfest. You want to know what it's not going to be? A slugfest.
Reverse psychology is where you're going.
I'm hoping the opposite of that for my quarterback pick. Mm-hmm.
I hope Derbs is right. I will go wager the over as well.
Welcome to the party.
Except for when I wager, the other thing happens. So maybe I won't wager. double reverse psychology.
Mm-hmm.
Just as cloudy clear is what we're doing in this segment.
Yes.
Speaking of cloudy clear, Rocky Mountain College kickoff coming up at 2 o'clock today. Looking forward to it, fellas. And we'll break into it. There's some teams with, you know, reasons to be excited about the weekend. There's some teams that are just playing for pride at this point. So
yeah,
we'll sift through that noise coming up.
Looking forward to it.
All right, guys. Yep. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Brady.
All right, we continue. Broncos-Texans, let's take a look at it. Also, the whole show Pressure Cooker coming up. It's Halloween, so which fan base should be terrified heading into this weekend? We'll get to that coming up very soon. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
From preps to college to the pros, we have your football on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hull, on the whole show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
Whole show pressure cooker time. What does this weekend mean for the teams we talk about here on the show? Colorado State's off this week. Probably good. Just need a break from the Rams for a moment, and then they'll get back at it and finish the final stretch of their season, their lost season at this stage. But let's go with kind of some of the it's fun to just play for pride. Air Force, they were off last week after beating Wyoming. They're going to play Army this weekend. That's always a game for Air Force to get up for. So, you know, the Falcons are 2-5. Army's 3-4. So for Air Force, yeah, this kind of win, they have their rivals. That's one of them. And it's always a special game. Always look forward to these games. That's tomorrow at 10 o'clock on CBS. So for Air Force, you know, you beat Army, you get to 3-5 on the season, and you have a shot to still, you know, make something of the year. But to beat Army, you know, they beat Wyoming, beat Army back-to-back, that would be nice for Air Force, I guess. But does it mean a whole lot in the grand scheme of things? Man, I thought Air Force would be a hell of a lot better, but that defense was just pretty bad. Save for the game against Wyoming. So we'll see if more. Their offense is fun. They're a lot of fun to watch. But I don't know. There's not a ton of pressure on Air Force. There's pressure to beat Army, sure. But the season certainly going south for the Falcons. How about for the Colorado Buffaloes, Mike? If they can win against Arizona, then they won't have to win their final three in a row just to get to be bowl eligible. Four games remaining. But as Brian talked to us about, Brian Howell of Buff Zone was like, hey, you know, this game, it means a lot for not just the end of this season and your thoughts on Coach Prime and where they're going from here, but if they can finish on a strong note, because it hasn't been a terrible season for the Buffaloes. I mean, they've been close in a lot of these games. They were close against Georgia Tech. The Houston game and the Utah game, you know, Utah really bad, but those were blowouts. But outside of that, CU hasn't been that bad. Close game against BYU. We know what they're up to. They're just dominating the Big 12. And then a close game against TCU. And it was 35-21, but TCU got that backdoor cover. Thank you. Help me out on one of my picks. I'd be 22-21 right now if it wasn't for that. But we're happy. But this isn't a terrible team. And if they can still finish off with at least getting into a bowl, I think that would be considered a pretty big, not a big step, but better than what a lot of people thought, especially after seeing that Utah debacle a week ago. So if they can beat Arizona, then they just got to win two more games the rest of the way to become bowl eligible. That will be interesting. What's at stake for the UNC Bears, Michael? Going up against Montana State, that's a number four team in the country. And if you're UNC, you know, The turnaround is clear. They're clearly a better football team than they were last year. They lost to Montana State 55-17 a season ago. I don't see that happening necessarily, but this would be the biggest win in UNC Bears history at the FCS level. Now, they had that earlier in the season, and if they can, you know, against Idaho, if they can do that against Montana State, now you're really starting to turn heads. Now you're really starting to get people talking about, you know, this team and recruits and being a good spot for a young football player to call home for a while. So it's a significant game. And, you know, being at home against Montana State, the crowd, it seems like there's more people paying attention to what's going on with this Bears team. This would be exciting if UNC can find a way to pull this off. They are 24.5-point dogs in this game, and Michael has them winning outright. You pull that off, dude, we're going to have to roll out red carpet for Ed Lamb when he gets here for his podcast, Football 52, on Wednesday morning with me.
You know what dogs do?
I don't. I guess bark, sleep.
They bite.
Okay. Mine does not.
Well, yours is nice. These bears aren't going to be nice. These bears are going to bite.
Wait, are they dogs?
They're going to bite the Montana State Bobcats because dogs versus scats this week. And dogs.
Well, technically, they're a bear, but they're underdogs, but they're actually a bear, and you know
well,
that.
We're going with me because it's my prediction here.
Okay.
My weird analogy.
No, it's
and
fine,
my weird analogy says that the Bears are going to beat up. I'm not going to say beat up, but it's going to be close. But the Bears are going to ultimately pull it off.
The Bears have kept everything close all year long. It's all the Bears have done. I mean, look at these scores, man. 21-17 against CSU, 24-17 against South Dakota. Even in their wins, 26-23 against Houston Christian, 26-18 against Idaho State. 49-33 against Idaho, kind of ran away with that one. Sacramento State, they lost by 5. And a lot of these games have come down to the final decision, the final play. Three or four games have come down to the final play. So this is a team that just, they're resilient. They don't go away easily. So it's going to be a team that I think is going to try to bring their absolute best coming up this weekend.
I am so confident that UNC is going to win this weekend that I'm considering going outside.
What?
I know. And going to the game.
You're going to go to the game?
I'm considering it.
Whoa. I think you should absolutely do this. It'd be good for you.
Yeah,
get a little sunlight.
It's supposed to be sunny.
Yeah. It'd be good for you to get out in the sun, man.
I mean, I did that a couple weeks ago. I went to the Greeley Central game.
Well, now you can go to another game. You can have two games under the belt, man.
Yeah, but that's like two games, like two being outside for several hours twice within a month. Yeah.
No, not feeling it.
I don't know. We'll see.
I think you should absolutely go to this game. 12:00 tomorrow. This will be on ESPN Plus as well. But big task. What does this mean for the Broncos? This is a swing. This is a swing kind of game. You beat Houston on the road this weekend, and then I think we're really talking about this team as a contender. I know it's putting a lot on Houston, but Houston's a better team, as we've documented. We'll get into a breakdown of that coming up. But that would be you bring that record, a 7-2 record, to your game against the Raiders on Thursday night. Whew, 8-2 potentially. Still would be, even if you lose to Houston, all is not lost, but I think you're going to get a lot of the national pundits they can't beat anybody. Who have they beaten? You know, they can't really beat. Philadelphia was down when they caught them. It took a 33-point fourth quarter miracle to beat the Giants. I think all that stuff's going to rear its ugly head again if you don't pull it off against the Texans this weekend. Not colossal, not end of the world if they lose, but certainly if we're looking at the big picture and the Broncos being a true contender, then I think that's one of those that you want to try to pull this off on the road at Houston.
It's either going to rear its ugly head or the Broncos are going to put it in the rear view mirror.
Either way, they're going to have to, right? You're going to turn the page. All right, 34 minutes after the hour, Broncos-Texans. Let's get into that coming up next. What will this do for a guy like Riley Moss this weekend when you don't have to worry about, hey, there's Patrick Surtain, just go the complete opposite way of him. We're going to pick on Riley Moss. I don't think we're going to see that this weekend. What will that mean for Riley Moss? Are we going to see a big game from him? What is he going to be up to? We'll find out. It's a whole show powered by Chevron. 34 minutes after the hour. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Hulse Show on 1310 KFKA.
Happy Halloween on this Football Friday, presented by Big City Roadhouse. Broncos Texans, we've talked about it a lot, and it's definitely, this is my game of the week between the teams that we focus on here on the show. The number one battle is going to be the offensive line going up against, I think it's going to be Denver's offensive line going up against the Houston Texans edge rushers. Obviously, you got Will Anderson, you got Daniel Hunter, two just absolute monsters going up against Garrett Bowles and Mike McGlinchey. How will they fare? Palcheski has been nice for the Broncos, too. This offensive, I mean, we're not talking about him much. I love the dude's story, but the fact that we're not talking about him much is always a great sign for a guy that's filling in. And Sean Payton said earlier this week that he's like, yeah, that's not a fill-in guy. That's a guy that's working himself into being a full-time starting offensive guard for Denver. I mean, he's working himself into that. So, and that was a big concern. Like, how will they do when they're dealing with the injuries at that offensive line? How would they be able to handle that? Palcheski has been really good. And that was a scary thought when, you know, Ben Powers goes out, placed on the IR, and then Matt Peart, who had a bad game, but then he turns out he was playing hurt in that game. He hurt his knee and then continued to play. Then you go next man up, and that always sounds cliche, and sometimes it works out to just be that next man up. But this is a big matchup for this offensive line. Again, Houston is a great defense. Like, they're a really good defense. I'm not trying to knock them. It's just when I'm putting out a Vance Joseph appreciation post, and if you guys just want to get lost in, well, Houston's number one in points allowed, number one in pass yard, whatever they are in pass yards, you got to look at some of those matchups too. That is why stats can be very misleading in the NFL or any sport, really. You know, you remember the whole Ashton Jeanty thing with Boise State last year, the running back? And listen, I thought he was a great college running back. I would have been fine if he won the Heisman. I was fine with Travis Hunter winning the Heisman. But the argument against him was, okay, who's he putting up all these monster yards against? Who's he putting up all these big-time performances against? Well, these are not great Mountain West football teams, for the most part, that he was doing this. Well, that's the same kind of logic is what I'm using looking at Houston and their matchups. I'm not trying to take anything away from them. It's just the stats are what they are. You shut out Tennessee. You held Baltimore to 10. Without Lamar Jackson. And when I think Seattle's defense is really good. They can make a case for it. But if I'm asked, if you guys want me to answer the question, I think Denver's defense is the best in the league. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. So when it comes to those matchups, obviously the offensive line, defensive line, that's a big one. Running the ball, though, that has to be such a point of emphasis when Denver is, they are running the ball well, and it does seem like we're starting to see RJ Harvey a little bit more. J.K. Dobbins, he had one bad game maybe this year, but he had his single season high with a 15 carry, 111 yard game against Dallas. We're seeing more from RJ Harvey. Is RJ Harvey more of that true joker position that Sean Payton's looking at? Yeah, we probably need a little bit more. See a little bit more from that to determine if he really is that joker type position. But I like what he's doing in the pass game with Harvey. Can you keep utilizing him and a 1-2 punch with J.K. Dobbins with that emphasis on the run game? They're still not running enough for my taste, but they're one of the top rushing teams in the NFL. Their average is really good. J.K. Dobbins has been very good. He said he wants to be a Bronco for life. Said that earlier this week. So that's going to be an interesting to watch, one to watch, taking pressure off of Bo Nix. Denver should have the edge when Houston tries to run. I mean, they've got a go-to guy kind of like J.K. Dobbins, but a little bit of a injury history there for him, too, and Nick Chubb. And Woody Marks, they got a rookie. So they have a very similar backfield to the Broncos. They got a reliable vet who's had an injury history, and then a rookie that's kind of a change of pace kind of dude. That's very similar to what Denver's dealing with. So I think the Broncos have the edge there. When the Texans go to pass the ball, I took C.J. Stroud in my quarterback toilet bowl. Part of that is because I'm running out of bad quarterbacks to take, so I have to start getting the good ones out of the way. And C.J. Stroud, he had a really bad fall off after his rookie season, but now he's starting to put up big numbers. He put up his highest completion percentage of his career is at 67%. He was 30 of 38 for 316 yards against the 49ers. They just don't have a ton, you know, of big-time playmakers. Nico Collins, obviously, sounds like he's going to go, but his health is still kind of up in the air. Pat Sertan's out, though. So this will put pressure on Riley Moss, but will it be as much? I don't think he's going to get targeted nearly as much as we've been seeing. He actually might have an easier day than he's had in two seasons. So watch out for Riley Moss.
I think the media is probably putting a lot more pressure on Riley Moss than I think he puts on himself.
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe.
Unless he's the type of guy that puts positive pressure on himself, like, you know, I got to go out there and I got to do
it. Yeah, I think
he
does. I think he puts that on like, hey, we have the best cornerback in the NFL. I know that I heard somebody say earlier last week on a podcast that the hardest job in the NFL is quarterback, but the second hardest job is second cornerback on a team with a shutdown, lockdown corner. That is a very difficult job. Riley Moss has one of the more difficult jobs in all of football, going up against good receivers, still number twos, but a lot of times, even solid corners, not lockdown like Sertan, a lot of times even solid corners, you look the other way. So Sertan, nothing about his job is easy. Will it get a little bit easier this weekend? I think so. He said, Chris, Brady, I can't access any data right now. How is the Texans running game? They are 17th in yards per game, 113.4 yards per game for them on the ground. They're kind of a middle-of-the-road team on the offensive side. Defensively, yeah, they are first in the NFL in total defense. They're fifth in run defense and fourth in pass defense and first in points allowed. Some of those interesting stats, though, that we went over throughout this week. So you can't let that be the tell-all about who the Texans are, at least at this point this season. I mean, Will Anderson's a beast. He's second in the NFL to Nick Benito in as far as players with 25-plus pressures. So you have a team that is kind of similar to the Broncos. This could set up to be a very good football game. We'll find out. 47 minutes after the hour, Michael. We got the picks coming up. CSU is off this weekend, so we'll look at the rest when we get back. I'm 23-20, feeling good. Oh, this is the weekend for me, though, because we're going to get to the point where it's just Broncos. So I'm trying to put some distance between that 500 mark here this weekend. Need a strong one. We'll get to that on the other side. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Is this the year the UNC Bears turn it around? Find the Football 52 podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or 1310kfka.com.
What's up, hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310kfka.
All right, Michael, it's picks time. Sitting at 23-20, looking to pull away as we get into a somewhat interesting weekend. Where do you want to go first, Mike?
Let's go with the UNC Bears, the guaranteed victory.
The UNC Bears are 24.5-point dogs to Montana State. I'm not going with you on the victory, but I will take the 24.5 for the Bears. The Bears plus 24.5. All they do is cover. So let me go that route. Where to next, Mike?
Let's go with CU.
CU Buffs going up against Arizona. I think both teams are kind of in the same position. I just got to wonder what the mentals are like for the Buffaloes. I like Noah Fifita, the quarterback for Arizona. Can the Buffs slow him down? I don't think so. I'm going to say Arizona -4 on that note. Mike, where to now?
How about our military academies taking each other on?
Yes. Army at Air Force. Air Force is a 1.5-point favorite in this game. I like Air Force. I think defensively they maybe have a little more confidence after the Wyoming thing. I don't know. But I like their offense. I like Air Force -1.5. Yes, Mike.
Why not Wyoming?
Wyoming at San Diego State. I'm rooting for you. I'm rooting for the Cowboys for sure, but I think San Diego State's too much for them. I think San Diego State covers 10.5 against the Cowboys this weekend. And finally, Michael, the Broncos at the Texans. The Texans are a 1.5-point favorite. I don't need the 1.5 points. I'm taking the Broncos to win outright and get to 7-2 before taking on the Raiders this weekend. There's the picks. I like Arizona -4, Air Force -1.5, San Diego State -10.5, the Bears +24.5, and the Broncos to win outright this weekend. And that'll do it for us. Happy Halloween. Be safe out there. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.